a little behind today. And there's a reason for it. Some time back I had recommended that as many of you as possible try to get a copy of the book Transforming America. And some when I mentioned that, I was discussing how there are so many devious things that are going on in America and the world in general that are being imposed, viciously imposed on the global community. And far greater than even some of the exposés that are gradually coming out. In all the time now, you're hearing on 60 Minutes, 2020, newspapers, people who are making various types of investigations, and they're explaining about so many conspiracies, and so many people who we normally think that they are concerned about the citizens' well-being, and how they're not, how it's the opposite. And it's just a small tip of the iceberg. More and more agencies, politicians, complete opposite. That instead of being so much for the people, that they are in positions for manipulation, exploitation, sometimes even to bring about various devastation. And so there's a tremendous energy flurge that's happening on the planet, but accelerated involvements with the demons, to the point that there's this massive attempt at just trying to centralize things to such a point that people become literally Now, there's so many different aspects, because there's so many aspects of demons. There are the very powerful demons who are not even residents of this planet, but who have tremendous abilities. They'll be considered to be very, very astute in metaphysics and their abilities to use shakti, use energy, subtle energies, and their abilities to operate on matter, to transform matter and to transform consciousness. And they have tremendous ability in knowing how to deal with mature elements. And so they have shakti, they have powers. All demons, this is some of their status. They are powerful because they are empowered for destruction. And they do it very systematic arrangements, coalitions, etc., interplanetary. And there are these type of demons are often referred to as when they come into this universe and they send certain agents to do their work. Srila Prabhupada describes them as rakshasas. He describes how the world at this time is controlled by such. And so these are not in any way just ordinary people who are just being influenced by lust or greed, who just somehow have become convinced in some case and now are involved in these kind of things just because they're interested. These are people who are born to bring destruction into universes, people who are bred, like you have sometimes people in farming, are people who breed demons. And so, for instance, in Bhagavad Gita it says, Namam Viskritino Mudha Prapajante Naradama. It emphasizes Prapajante Naradama. Suram Baba Ashrita, Mayaya Piti Gyanam, Suram Baba Ashrita. Mentioning very clearly different types of people who never can surrender to God. A type called Asuras. Not only do they not surrender but they make plans to try to capture the minds of others, make them atheistic. They have plans to capture the minds of others so that they can use them in all kinds of heinous ways. So we were discussing and looking at some film that has a relationship to the book. And I was mentioning how these things are so related. It says that you're hearing more and more about the position of the Federal Reserve Bank, the International Money Fund, of the Commission. You're hearing, these people are controlling certain parts. More and more, things are in high places. High places in the material arena. And high places in money. So there's always been a struggle going on in planets like Earth, material universes, between the pious versus the impious. It's nothing new. The different degrees of the pious and different degrees of the impious. So many societies, secret societies, were formulated to be able to keep sacred information and knowledge sacred for the benefit of humanity. Many of those secret societies were societies that had to go underground to try to salvage ancient wisdom, universal knowledge, higher metaphysical understanding, so that that knowledge could be kept, made available and used. As we see even through certain aspects of orthodoxy, we see how, you know, there were times when Christians were prosecuted, they were thrown in many even of the some of the more major orthodox ones, how even leaders of those movements themselves were abusing or misusing other people of other traditions or other alignments. So sometimes people who are in knowledge realize were reflecting more and more on the dangers that they were things that they were experiencing, and also seeing the future was going to be worse. So sometimes they salvaged certain things and they went underground. Now many of those societies that had good intentions and went underground in keeping certain sacred knowledge have become infiltrated. And so now they have some sacred knowledge that is being used or being infiltrated by demons, who then use it as another way to find more leverage on the people. So practically every power organization, every grouping that had some advanced understanding about the human condition or some advanced perceptions about the cosmos has basically become infiltrated. Demons, very powerful demons, they're very clear in where their adversaries are. And they're very clear about what it takes to weaken, to debilitate, and to destroy people. They're very clear about how to access the lower passions of people. And so they're expert. And they're perceptive in seeing people's weaknesses and able to capitalize on such. Many times we speak about the mind control. In Baltimore we were mentioning how your perspective based on faith is based on mind, based on the potency of the mind, the kind of mindset that one has determines their realizations, determines their experiences, determines how they qualify things, how they perceive things. Ultimately what life, you know, is for them. Life is so much based on the quality and the capacity of our mind. Because then it brings certain things to us and helps us to visions. So demons see one of the greatest weapons of bringing down civilizations is how to affect people's thinking, how to affect their perceptions. Then you influence all the external things. So we see that there are the sinister type of entities who find ways to capitalize off people who are just basically greedy and lusty. There are some people who are just normal, sinful people. They're just greedy and lusty. So they become good candidates to be used because of their greed, and they're enticed based on their greed. These are just wicked people. They're not demons. They're just extremely selfish people. And then those who are demons, who have literally taken birth in environments where they can be surrounded by demonic culture. That's when someone leaves the body, before they enter again into another physical existence, their entire life is evaluated in terms of their past life, and then they're being given a body that accompanies a soul based on so many things that the entity has been about. And so some very sinful entities, then their nature, their karma, is that their existence will continue to perpetuate in those kind of environments. Bhagavatam explains that sometimes such a powerful demon is taking birth that when they even take birth into the universe, it causes so much disturbance to the ethers. It causes hurricanes, it causes droughts, it causes earthquakes, it causes tornadoes. Some of these occurrences are are very powerful beings who just their initial presence into the material universe, it causes such unnatural disturbances because they are unnatural. They are very much against the will of the Supreme Personality. This is the Bhagavatam. We see so many stories. How they engage in all types of rituals and such. I want to just read cursory, this is a few sections from Bhagavad Gita that gives some description about the demonic type of person. And also to help us to be more sensitive toward divine qualities versus demonic qualities, and to realize that it's not just some idea of some devil got some horns and a tail and a pitchfork and just some kind of pigmentation or just one type of being. But there are many types of demonic entities. It's like there are different types of races, different types of tribes, different countries, different planets. There are different types of demons who fit certain types of categories, who do certain types of things based on the kind of demon that they are. And it shouldn't be so difficult to understand because we understand there are different types of angelic personalities. I think last week we mentioned a little bit that there's all types. There's the angels, there's the archangels, there's the Gandharvas. There's dozens and dozens of different types of entities that are of a highly evolved nature who are pious. And some of these we often refer to as extraterrestrials. There's certain categories of extraterrestrials, beings on other types of planets, and of course other types of universes. And there are certain planets that are just infiltrated, I'm sorry, certain planets that are fully populated with only demons. There are certain planets that are populated only with angels. There are certain planets that are populated with certain types of angels, certain types of higher beings. Nations are vast. That's unusual. We see even here, just in the Washington, Maryland area, there's so many different types of people. Just within America, there's so many different types of states and types of people. Just within one or two continents, people are so different. In some places, the basic size of people is over 6 feet tall. In some places, it's a little bit over 4 feet. Differences, different races, different lifestyles, different patterns, even within this same planet. Difference between a Watutsi and the Japanese is tremendous difference. On different planets, differences are so vast. We see so much heterogeneity and variegatedness even within our own small little Earth planet. Not so unusual that differences can be even more extensive, demarcated in environments where some of the activities of the very powerful demons just some of the activities of very powerful spiritualists is that they engage in various types of rituals. The very powerful spiritualists, they engage in various types of rituals to access their agenda. And the demons, they also do similarly. Sometimes we hear how there is an increase in Satanism, increase in the occult, left hand occult, because occult sometimes can just refer to psychic things, are used in abusive ways. Why is it we look deep at the occult, we look deep at Satanism, we see all these rituals, always based on death, blood, shearing, kinky sex, power and exploitation. Because this is the technologies of the demons trying to defile purity, of trying to maximize the expressions of lust. And of course we see the opposite. There's rituals for righteousness, for cleanliness. There's austerities to control the senses, to control the passions. There are activities to be more about community, activities to be more about trying to be selfless, to be the servant. Well, the demonic rituals are also based on one's own individual gratifications and such. The world is in a very serious crisis because people are already controlled. It's not that they are about to be controlled, they're already controlled. And the average person does not really have so much, is not really using very much of their free will. How much are they free when so much of what they understand it is what is being force-fed? And they're overtaxed to the point they can't hardly function. They've got so many types of criteria they have to deal with just by being in orthodoxy that there's little time to think other than to keep playing in to filling up your commitments based on your insurance, based on your mortgage, based on so many other things that constantly imposed on one. As a person, basically what they can do is go to work, make a little money, get a little rest, take a little food, and try to pay their bills. And so where's the time to think when people are making more money or being able to do less with their money? How do they take shelter or so many things that are even more unhealthy? So some other way to try to escape, try to deal with the complexities, or try to acquire some type of elation, some type of happiness, some type of ecstasy, that turns to be the opposite. This brings more confinement. But don't think the demons are not involved in that. They are most involved. They're involved in beating people on the head and then arranging avenues for escape that beats you more. Yes, you are. Anxieties in here is an escape. It's alcohol. Here's so many different types of drugs. An escape. So many types of illicit activities that are there. You know, go for it. Many ideas. Now you really become a prisoner. Because now one becomes addicted and uncontrolled. Even more. Being one is even more dictated by the passions. Somebody who's very, very passionate, they're a little easier to control because then you just connect with that passion and you just draw them in to do whatever you want to do. Well, Bhagavatam explains some of the qualities of these very powerful demons. We discuss it sometimes. They eat in flesh, engage in rituals, particularly of a lot of exploitation of sexual consideration. Also, very heavily involve themselves in trying to reverse things that are spiritual. So many of their rituals are the actual opposite of what enhances spiritual life. They defile the cross. They abuse spiritual scriptures. They create much foulness as possible. Sometimes they even do rituals with body parts, or they would do ritual with body fluids, with defecation and with urination and so on. They curse, you know, spiritual scriptures and pictures of saints and things of giant power for destruction. So I just wanted to read briefly for us to take questions on just what some of the points that the Bhagavad Gita mentions about the demonic. It's chapter 16 that discusses the divine and the demonic. These four, based on our time, we'll only go over a few points in relationship to the demonic. Leave the Sanskrit, I'll just go straight to the English translation. Chapter 16, I'll start with text 4. Arrogance, pride, anger, conceit, harshness, and ignorance. These qualities belong to those of the demonic nature, O son of Parker. Arrogance, pride, and again, at different levels, demonicness. Some people may have this very minutely. Just be self-centered persons, or just be obnoxious persons, necessarily demons who enjoy. The difference is that demons enjoy misery. They enjoy filth. They get shakti. They get the charge of seeing people suffer. They get a charge of inflicting pain to others. In this verse, the royal road to hell is described. This is important. The demonic want to make a show of religion and advancement in spiritual science. So sometimes the demons even enter into spiritual environments as a way to bring it down. Although they do not follow principles. They're always arrogant or proud and possessing some type of education or so much wealth. They desire to be worshipped by others. See, well, why is that? Because demons hate God so much. Therefore, they want to replace him, and they are very eager to do things that allows them to feel like they are the God. So they get shocked, they get enjoyment also of being worshipped. So in order to be worshipped, they have to have more control, they have to have more power, they have to have more people as their slaves. So the people will have to depend on them for everything, for life. Think that they're the antithesis of God, but they want to feel and be like that. So therefore, in order to do that, they have to find more and more ways so people depend on them for their food, for their water, for their air, for their shelter, for everything. People plead to them mercilessly for help, for benediction, for this, for that. And so they enjoy how they can just weaken and slay people and devastate them to the point that people have to depend on them for dear life. And where they have the ability, where they can take the life, or simply they can give the life. This is the nature of people, the powerful demons. I'm only mentioning this because more and more we're going to see so much demonic activities, demonic presences, and demonic arrangements on the people and on ourselves. They desire to be worshipped, and they demand respectability, although they do not command respect. Over trifles, they become very angry and they speak harshly, like any tyrant. Tyrant is feeling so much in control. Slightest thing doesn't go their way. Then you see there some of their power. They're ready to destroy, they're ready to kill, they're ready to kill someone. How much that they are dominant. They do things, everything whimsically according to their own desire. They do not recognize any authority. When demons have to recognize other authorities, it's only because they're trying to enhance their own authority. Sometimes demons, they make coalitions, and they agree on certain things. but always still in the mood of enhancing their own, leverage. These demonic qualities are taken on by them from the beginning of their bodies in the wombs of their mothers. As they grow, they manifest all these inauspicious qualities. Even the small, not big demons, but even sometimes you see people who have a very sinful nature. And they're just 6 months old, they're just 1 year old. And they already start manifesting so many heavy demonic moods. There's some kids now that are so small, they're only 2 years old. They do all kind of tantrums. They do very sinister things. Because they've been born simply out of lust. They've come in from very sinful environments. Therefore, they take birth in an environment where that gives some room for this type of mentality. We're watching in the film how parents are also breeding amongst themselves. See, when there is so much inner incest that goes on from generation after generation, it creates the various weird mindsets, weird physiological and biological changes. And so one of the things that's happening these days, the demons are also breeding. But this is, if you go back history, you'll see this is something that's been going on in some of these, with the rich and super rich. Sometimes this is part of their moods. Because they're so much concentrated on power, and they're so much interested in maintaining their demonic cultures. And so they protect their money, and they protect also their demonic mindsets by reinforcing the culture. Sometimes they even send them to special types of schools where they learn more and more how to become great great exploiters. Text 8. They say that this world is unreal and there is no foundation, that there is no God in control. It is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Let me go to text 9. Following such conclusions, the demonic who are lost to themselves, who have no intelligence, that's real intelligence, engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. Keep in mind, because they want to be God, they want to be worshipped. Therefore, they want to control the world, they want to maintain it, and they want to destroy it. These are some of the qualities of the Lord. The Lord creates, maintains, and he also from time to time annihilates. So the demons want to have that in their power. They want to be able to create. See, they're doing now so much, you know, manipulation with genes, with the cloning, all these things. So they're more and more trying to create. They're already doing this on many different levels. You're just hearing something that's coming out. It's not being contained. And destroy. So now they have the atomic bombs, they have the nuclear bombs, they have the chemical bombs, they have the biological bombs, that within their so-called power, they have the ability to be able to annihilate all life on the planet many, many times over, and they have tried in the past, but they have been checked. The reason this whole planet hasn't been destroyed long time ago is because from time to time they get checked. Because they're also the empowered agents of the Lord. It's not some accident. Sometimes they've tried to set up these space shuttles and they just explode. Or it's just some mechanical failure that's internal. That sometimes they are checked. But many of the agents who are caretakers of this planet, their position is to intervene based on the consciousness of those who they are to help. So many people don't even have the consciousness that allows the help. Then the demons get stronger and stronger. And so they are always available. There's never time in any one planet that only the residents of that planet is all that's going on, that's it. And there's not one single environment in the whole of creation where it's only things going on in that place and there's nothing else. There are so many aspects of the material environment, so many aspects of the spiritual environment. Higher entities always have the ability to come into other types of environments. Entities that are more evolved always have the chance. In this case, we're talking about entities more involved spiritually and not involved in manipulating the mature energies. It's difficult for lower entities to go to higher places. That is not. Normally, that can't happen without some special. So, these demonic entities find ways to form coalitions to see how they can bring destruction. Some of these tyrants, they want their share of control, and so then they connect with very, very powerful demons who allow them to have some turf based on they going along with the plans of destruction. People hear about these international bankers who are controlling so much of the world economy and buy and sell countries, can bring deflation, can bring depression, alter the geological environment. Some of these people are demons who have been bred generation after generation. And some are demons who have submitted themselves to very powerful demons who do not reside in this planet, but who have some influence and ability to enter in and out of different environments. And these are some of your sinister extraterrestrials. Some of the technologies that some of the demons who reside here have has been due to certain kinds of rituals and connections they have with demons or even outside of this particular planet. Why not? You have spiritual entities outside, you can also have. At the time, we have people that confess how, or posit how their lives have been influenced by angels. Or their lives have been influenced by rishis, by sages. Their lives have been influenced by spiritual super beings who give them some blessings, some benediction, who remind them, who warn them. In some cases, they communicate with on an ongoing basis. It's not an accident that in the last 10 years, you got so many people who become mediums, who are channeling this thing, channeling that thing, and many people who are reading about extraterrestrials and have seen extraterrestrials, and so many people who are trying to understand more about ancient wisdom and things. This is not an accident that these things are happening. Wow. Part of massive unfoldment. So here we see in Bhagavad Gita how they are involved in actually trying to destroy the world. And we'll read the purport of that. The demonic are engaged in activities that will lead the world to destruction. This is text 9 and purport. The Lord states here, they are less intelligent. The materialists have no conception of God. They think that they're advancing, but according to Bhagavad Gita, they're unintelligent and devoid of all sense. Unintelligent in the sense that they may have tremendous insights, ability to deal with material energy, being able to manipulate it, but they're unintelligent because ultimately they have to suffer for all the sins that they engage in. And they have to pay the price for all of the devastation that they put on the peoples. They try to enjoy this material world to the utmost limit, and therefore they always engage in inventing something for sense gratification. Such materialistic inventions are considered to be advancement of human civilization, but the result is that people grow more and more violent and more cruel. You see that with so much of modern technology. Scholarly people become viciously violent and cruel and impersonal to each other. They more and more cruel to animals and cruel to other human beings. They have no idea how to behave toward one another. Animal killing is very prominent amongst demonic people. Now this is what plague of people getting ulcers, huh? E. coli. And many people are looking a little closer at just the huge amount of flesh that people are eating. And so constantly, there's so many consequences coming along with these things. Such people are considered the enemies of the world. This is the demons again. Because ultimately they will invent or they will create some things which will bring destruction to all. This verse anticipates the invention of nuclear weapons. So here, this is written over 5,000 years ago, discussing this. This verse anticipates the invention of nuclear weapons, which the whole world is today very proud of. At any moment, war may take place, and those atomic weapons may create havoc. Such things are created solely for the destruction of the world, and this is indicated here. Due to godlessness, such weapons are invented in human society. They are not meant for the peace and prosperity of the world. Maybe two or three more. So text number 10. The demonic takes shelter of the insatiable lust, pride, false prestige, and being thus illusioned, are always sworn to unclean work attracted by the impermanent. The demonic mentality is described here. The demon's lust is never satiated. It's one of the things about the demons, you know, because some people, they wonder, well, what did they want? The super, super rich, they have billions of dollars. What else could they want? They can buy an island. They can buy a country. They can corner the gold. They can corner the silver. What else do they want? They can have as many cars as they want. They can have as many houses as they want. They can have as many boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever they want. What else? You know, at a certain point, money doesn't mean anything anymore because, you know, you can't use it. You don't see it. It's just numbers. What else do they want? Demons are not just interested in money. They're not just interested in properties. They are intoxicated by power. So because more and more money means more and more power. More and more opulences means more and more power. More and more people they're enslaved, the more their power is established. And so, therefore, this is their nourishment, power. So it's on more and more and more different material things because they actually want more of the power that's connected with that because their mission is to try to knock the whole idea of theism. And so to do that, the greatest way they can do that is to try to be as God themselves. Without the mercy, without the love, but just with the element of control and mastery and manipulation of people's actual lives. Although they're always full of anxieties on account of accepting, which I'm reading before, the demonic mentality is described, the demon's lust is never satiated. They will go on increasing and increasing their insatiable desires for material enjoyments. Meaning that as they conquer, you know, they get one monopoly, they want another. They from one merger, they do this, they do that. As they get one political party control, they want another. As they conquer over one particular country, they want a continent. They conquer over another country, they want another country. This is nature. Huge demons. So they're always full of anxieties on account of accepting non-permanent things. They still continue to engage in such activities out of illusion. They have no knowledge, they cannot tell that they are heading the wrong way, because ultimately the righteous prevails. Accepting non-permanent things, such demonic people create their own God. They create their own hymns, chant accordingly. The result is that they become more and more attracted to two things. Sex enjoyment. See, whenever you see powerful demons, they're so much affiliated with kinky sex. They're so much affiliated with control, with exploitation, and whatever things increases the lust factor. Because lust is obviously the contrastive of the love. And this is why you see throughout spiritual circles, it's recommended to be able to have some sense of control in all of these areas of the passion. There are two things, sex enjoyment and accumulation of material wealth. The world, asuchi rata, that's why you see demons are very vogue in incest, very vogue in bestiality. It doesn't matter. Whatever they can connect with for some sensual gratifications, and the more devious it is, the more adventure, the more they can have a sense of control, then the happier they are. That's why in these discussions, in the book on transformation, we find that some of these powerful personalities are sex slaves. Because this is an expression of their power. They can have someone so much is available for whatever they want, how to use a person. It makes them feel even more, feel as God, that the person's life is so much dependent upon them. Asuchi vata, unclean bile, is very significant in this connection. Sati-minded people are only attracted by wine, women, gambling, meat eating. These are their asuic, unclean habits. Induced by pride and false prestige, they create some principle of religion which are not approved by Vedic injunction. Although Sati-minded people are most abominable in this world, still by artificial means, the world creates a false honor for them. Although they're gliding toward hell, they consider themselves very much advanced. May I just read one last one, and then we'll open up for discussion. 12. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. Doesn't matter how old they are, what the situation is, they're still trying to find some way. There's no end to their anxieties. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. There's nothing new there. Text 15. The demonic person thinks, so much wealth do I have, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So many billions, so many millions. I will gain more. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future. More and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him. My other enemy will also be killed. Life, death, life means very little. Take a life of the big demons, is they enjoy it. I am the Lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity. Thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. In the last 16, thus perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, one becomes too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and falls down into hell. So let me read the purport of this. The demonic man knows no limit to his desires or her desires to acquire money that is unlimited. He only thinks how much assessment he has just now and schemes to engage that stock of wealth farther and farther. For that reason, he does not hesitate to act in any sinful way. And so does the black market for illegal gratification. He is enamored by the possessions he has already, such as land, family, house, and bank balance. And he is always planning to improve. He is always finding a way to expand his empire of control. He believes in his own strength. He does not know that whatever he has gained is due to his past good deeds. He is given opportunity to accumulate such things, but he has no conception of the past causes. He simply thinks that all his massive wealth is due to his own endeavor. The demonic person believes in the strength of his personal work, not in the law of karma. According to the law of karma, a man takes his birth in a high family, becomes rich, or very well educated, or very beautiful, because of good work in the past. The demonic person thinks that all these things are accidental and due to the strength of his own personality. He does not sense any arrangement, behind all the varieties of people, beauty, and education. Anyone who comes in competition with such a demonic man is his enemy. There are many demonic people, and each is enemy to the others. They even, of course, fight each other. It becomes more and more deep between persons, then between families. Then between, so I see, first it becomes an enmity between persons, also between families, between societies, and last between nations. Therefore, there is constant strife for an enmity all over the world. So we'll stop there. But you can see the basic mood of this position of the demons, that they are empowered for destruction. And because they want to create theism by trying to annihilate God, then they're eager to annihilate the God people. Or they're eager to put people in a situation where individuals have to depend on them, have to beg to them, have to have their whole life under their jurisdiction. And so what we're seeing gradually happening more and more as we enter to the 21st century, that the demons are stepping out, trying to see how they're going to control more people so that they can access more of their power by being able to have life and death considerations so much based on their own strategy. It is almost impossible for the average citizen of almost any country not to be highly affected by the demons in their local areas as well as on the international scene. And things are gradually becoming so heinous that unless one has spiritual discipline in their lives, they will simply be a slave and a product into certain ways of demonic influence. That means unless a person is able to have some protection and shelter, some spiritual principles, that they will not be agents being able to actually operate for free will as we normally understand it. We see free will to be already happening, one country after another. So in summary, we're just looking at the fact that, yes, there is the divine and there is the demonic. But we understand that the demonic qualities, the demonic people, can never be superior to that of righteousness. It's only when righteousness is not sufficiently strong or available, then of course the demons have their field there. Because so many people do not even understand what is proper, what is the proper thing to do. You see leverage. And last thing, the demons try to infiltrate the culture by allowing people to be more subjected to demonic education, demonic socialization, that involves demonic recreation, where people are literally, their outlets for fun and enjoyment and security are all inimical to their real health. So demons are very happy when they have people running and eagerly doing a sinful thing and trying to enjoy, you know, giving happiness, taking shelter of the sinful thing. So that can only be stopped or checked by spiritualists. Spiritualists are more active than it has ways to counteract some of the devastation of the demons. So any questions or any comments we have? Those of you who haven't got the book, you know, trying to get it. How many of you here have the book, Transformation? Are sneaking out things by higher authorities that is not all being checked? They just kill them when they find out these kind of stuff. What is President of America? Not that, not a big difference between the CIA and the Mafia. Okay, out of here. Is anybody writing books about it? They say, so what? Must be over 2 or 3 dozen people who have died who've been in association with knowledge about these particular cases. Any questions to anyone else?
I can see this movie conspiracy theory here, and it's making him appear crazy. Mm-hmm. And he says all of these things that we've been talking about for years, you know, fluoride in water and people killing various people. Crazy. And so people, some who don't understand the movie, are laughing, you know, right, when he says these things. But the people who know, you know, don't laugh at all, right, you know, because they know what he's saying is the truth. This is absolute truth. Yesterday I went to North Carolina, Proctor, but he has a cooperative in democratic rights. And one of the things we did, we went around the town and people pointed out the things that he owned. He had a highway built that was unnecessary. They didn't need this highway, but it has his name on it. And this is Fairfax Expressway. Then he owns a pig slaughterhouse in the middle of town. You know, that stenches, the stench goes around the town, okay? This is major money. He pays minimum wage, from what I understand. Not only that, he has the migrant workers come in. So a lot of people in the area are dependent on his paying, you know, their salary. So it's really a modern-day plantation. And then he was responsible for building the prison. He got the funding for the prison. So that's, you know, there in that same area. And somebody pointed out a mall that he also owned, a shopping mall. And just so happens, I don't know, those of you who listen to WOL, you probably know this brother named Hamza, who calls him. He's a Muslim brother, but he studied the lives. I've given him one of the tapes. He studied everything. He reads everything. And one of the things he keeps saying he deals with is the Clintons and their association, those people who are involved in demonic affairs, dealing with something called a rose. And they say they even wear this rose. Well, lo and behold, when I turned around to look at the name of his mall, it was Roses. I said, whoa, wait, Dr. Hamza. So, it's, you know, there are things there, you know, everybody's connected into something, you know, because why do people spend millions of dollars to run for an office that pays a couple of hundred thousand? There's, you know, a lot of power, you know.
Can't really get, you know, president, he doesn't,
no,
you know,
he doesn't
people,
get anywhere near.
You know, after the state makes so many more times the president.
Absolutely,
you know.
So my prayer is always that, you know, that those of us who are trying, striving to be righteous, that, you know.
Exactly, as you're bringing up. Of the element of control.
Yeah.
And you'll see in a lot of these very sinister people that there's more and more.
Mm-hmm.
They wonder, why? You know, what should control?
Mm-hmm.
Control is to enslave.
Mm-hmm.
The more you can enslave, the more you can control. The more you can take away from others, the more you can bring into your reign of jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. With the youngsters, quite often, that my question is, children that may or may not be born from the demon, and things that are pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, should we just use some strategies that we can help and possibly?
Well, some of them are born from demonic connections, but in most cases they're influenced by the demon. But in either case, they can always be helped. You know, just as you can have negative influence, you can have positive influence, according to what the person is hearing, seeing, what's around them, what you know, culture they're associating with, what is the culture, theory, this is a lie, of misinformation, by them. If they're somehow able to experience some associations that are caring, that are selfless, that are productive, that are stimulating, then they will take on. The difficulty is when there's only a little of that positive stimulation, and there's so much negative, then there's going to be an imbalance. There's going to be more focusing and acting.
Human nature says that people are baseless. Let me make a statement, then you
sure.
Turn around.
Yes.
And go like that. Say basically that people are, you've had those certain lusts that they got to have.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at music, it depicts what you were talking about, sex, like a model. When you look at organizations, for instance, the NEA, which is extremely powerful. You look at church, schools, when you look at actually everything human.
Mm-hmm.
Human nature is enforced by demons at this particular time. I know down the road, everything will clean itself up.
Mm-hmm.
But in regards to what brother said, particularly like the kids, like this,
right,
I understand that a lot of the musicians, the really important ones, have sold their souls to the demons.
Mm-hmm.
To them.
So much in a mature world, where there's the money, the power, the decisions are made. So with money and power, you can affect the way people think, because according to people playing into what you want them to do, then you reward them. So yes, there are cases where some of the top entertainers, musicians and whatnot, they are helping to propagate the demonic culture because they're being rewarded by it. So many of the movies, so many things. If it's gross, if it's heinous, there's no chance that it will get funded, and something is not. So there are certain things that are subtle, but they gradually direct more and more people's minds toward demonicness by those who control their money and the power. So then one of the ways that individuals start getting away from that is that they stop trying to live a life of just orthodoxy. You start looking a little closer. And not just a matter of making money only. They start looking at what is really being principle-centered. They start looking at so much more than just themselves. They start thinking about what their actions are having an effect on community. They start looking much more at the idea of wondering and thinking, just what really is life really all about? It's just a matter of just struggling for survival, and whoever is the greatest in their struggle, and their struggling, and dominates and trespasses and manipulates others, and because they are greater at being devious than they're the ones who survive and others don't. So very significant is for one to begin to develop more and more of a mindset of being in the world but not of the world. And then you begin to step back constantly and start making decisions based on more use of freedom, so of being easily led. Most institutions are sinfully controlled, and in some of the spiritual environments. Like churches now, they're more into, you know, let's see, raffles and so many of the hajjas and the pilgrimages that people go on. So much of the hajj now is just chance for people to make, you know, huge, huge drug connections. So many of the sacred tirthas now, you see great wars and things going on, great conflicts, whether it's Mecca, whether it's Jerusalem, whether it's even places like, you find that organized crime has become very, very intense in sacred places. Any of the powerful coalitions of ministers or priests, they are more power hungry and they're more expert politicians than the politicians. You know, some of these societies, you know, when they go once a year or twice a year, you know, for their meetings, they discuss their plans, and you have all these thousands of ministers coming together. They make the politicians look like Boy Scouts. They're so intense about power and manipulation and control. So it's unfortunate, and that's why it's no accident you're finding some of these leaders, that some of the leaders come from the churches these days. See, some of the top politicians are coming out of the churches because they get trained up very good. And also why you find now some of the tyrants. You look at some of the properties and monies and things they have, and you find that some people are the cloth. And they become huge, huge business, you see, tycoons. Because instead of really dealing with the people, they're into power and manipulation. Therefore, they're trying to see how they can get the funds and monies rather than for helping. And they all people can make a difference, especially by being more involved in the regulation of controlling their own senses. The thing that demons really capitalize on is people who are so much weak to giving in the sense gratification. So if you eat any abominable things, you're more likely to be drawn in. If you are addicted to drugs or alcohol or something, then you can be drawn in a lot easier because you can, you know, control. If you're so addicted to promiscuous activities, these are all things that make it easier be able to entice you to fall prey, you know, to a sinful lifestyle. Adhere to those things, there's a problem. And that's why, you know, now the government's getting very just disturbed. There's a lot of organizations now talking about sovereignty. We should understand, because there are a lot of overreactions going on. There's a sinful thing, there's overreaction. Like now you have these, what we call patriots, or you have people who, like the guys who bombed, you know, Oklahoma.
Malicious.
Yeah, malicious. So some of these people are just normal sense gratifiers who just want to enjoy life, they want to be happy, and they're noticing that, hey, The government is cheating us. The military is cheating us. The politicians are cheating us. The entertainers are entertaining us while everybody's cheating us. And they're just angry because they really believe in the system. They believe in it. Not that they're spiritually astute or anything. They believed in it, and they're shocked to see. You are sending our kids. You're destroying our kids. You're taking so much money from us. You're giving us nothing. And you're sending us to our graves, you know, as paupers. So they're now equipping themselves. They're taking all kinds of survival courses. And they're angry as hell at the government. They're angry as hell. But they see that things are now controlled by CIA, by FBI, that there's really already no civic rights, that it's just an illusion. Because they don't have piety. Then what they do is that they think, well, we're not going to play into it. We're going to fight it. And so they equip themselves with weapons. Well, in some cases, they just stop it. Now we're doing more and more. You know, see, that actually makes it easier for the demons. Because then the demons can bring in even more the martial law. It says sometimes in the 60s, with SDS and the Panthers and other organizations, sometimes those who would be shouting the most about burn this or bomb this, there would be plants. Because they were designed to create more and more anger, designed to create more and more chaos and fragmentation between the races and political groups and this group and that group, so that it makes it easier for the big demons then to come in with the idea of control or heavy law supposedly to protect or to arrange, in essence. So some of these people who are in some of these patriot organizations are actually just the opposite. They want to see the society fall apart. They're going back to the land. They're going back into natural health cure. They're just looking more and more at how they can be less enslaved by so many things. You have organizations who are, you know, explaining to people how to become sovereign. Like kind of how to disappear out of society. They have whole plans, you know. How you kind of become a non-entity. Right now it's legal. It's a lot of involvement, but it's the ways that you can become a non-entity. And therefore, you are not held against taxation and military this. And you can own your own land. See, now people think they own their own land, they own cars and things. Even once you buy it, you still don't own it. Your own land and everything, even if you have to buy it, it's owned by the Federal Reserve. It's all been put up as collateral by the United States government. It's funny how the Federal Reserve is not a government agency. All the money is controlled by the Federal Reserve, which is just a consortium of private businessmen, some of the big, big demons, that have involvement in central banks all over the world. Now, there's central banks all over the world that are controlling all the other banks and all the money supply. These are some of the leverages of the demons. They want to control everything, so they control all the money. Not so long ago, they called in all the gold. It became illegal for citizens, private citizens to have gold. They took all the gold and put it one place, supposedly. Even right now, today, there's no audit about the gold that's supposedly in Fort Knox. They have all kinds of reasons why they're not ready to audit, because there ain't no gold there. I think a few more questions this time.
Cause that kind of strife that you...
It's a part of demonic, because part of the rule of the basic scheme of demonicness is always divide and conquer. One way you divide is you find where there are differences, and you just exploit them and exploit them and exploit them. People get so distracted from such things, then they forget about what the real problems are. That's why, you know, you put the, you know, it's like how South Africa did, you know, so excellent. So they stratified things to such an extent that the coloreds were against the blacks. The blacks were having to deal with everybody. The Asians were afraid of the coloreds. So they put everybody kind of against each other. The closest one to you is the one you're more against. And while the real issues, you know, were hardly addressed. And then it makes it easier to control. So much, even today, so much tension between the blacks and the colors. Much tension between the Asians and the colors, the Asians and the blacks. Are white and you're from Europe, or you're from, I'm sorry, you're from England, or you're from, you know, from the Dutch descent. So the British, so expertly. This happens a lot, you know, it happened a lot with colonialization. Usually the French were a little better. When they gave up their power, they usually tried to, in many countries, they tried to set things so that things could be a little stronger and go on. The British were the opposite. Most places that where they had where they colonized, they tried to set things in motion to destroy the situation. They did that also in India. So when the founding had to had to take their hands off India, they created Pakistan. So there would be this confusion between the Muslims and the Hindus, even today. Even to the point that one of the ways that the Third World War is most likely to happen, one of the connections, the Middle East, from India and Pakistan. Mm. They created such tensions now. And that was done, that was organized. Each other. They look just alike. They were almost the same kind of clothes. They live some of the little stone throw away from each other, you know. But they hate each other. You see this with tribalism. Tribalism is going on. It's also one of the ways, one of the plans of dealing with a lot of the Third World. So people destroy themselves through drugs, through starvation, and through tribal wars.
And we always forget, you know, that goes on every day. Like down a whole street, killing, you know, going in the houses and killing people. Just going in, and to this day, the French and the British do not like one another. And right. I saw that at my son's school. that goes way back. They do not like one another. So it's just incredible what's going on.
No, it's intense. See, that's a good point, because there's even a language thing.
Yes.
You know? You can be born in the same part of the ground, same part of the country, but a different language.
Mm-hmm.
This is all instrumental influence.
Okay.
And a lot of the gender problems also.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a rise in the gender problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find more and more fighting going on between so-called the straights versus the homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find more and more problems going on. In that way, because another way to fragment relationships and to fragment family. You can fragment family, and you really got hands on things. You really got close on the inside, and you just fragment people from really valuing the sense of familyhood. So people have to be careful, you know, not to get distracted by this racism, by this tribalism. Religious fanaticism. So many cases now, people of different religions, and they're supposed to be worshiping the same God. They're ready to kill each other. I mean, how is it that, you know, people like that in Ireland kill people, and they're ready to go to the street and kill somebody? They pray, or, you know, a little differently. So you can see that, you know, that demons will find a reason to have in-group, out-group. It's a different color, okay, that's good. Different gender, okay. Different language, different dialect, you know. Different part of the country. You know, find ways. Because one is not identifying so much, maybe we'll stop here, with just trying to live a life of self-centeredism. See, when you are so much into, when a person or a group so much into their sovereign concern, then others become a threat to you or disturbance. And you don't see so much your life is connected with them, or you don't see them as important, or you don't see them even as a real living entity. One of the things that's done also is just to minimize another person's existence. Remember, it wasn't so long ago women couldn't vote here in America. It wasn't so long ago, even the Constitution now has blacks is like half, what is it, one?
Three-fifths.
Three
you know. And that still is not,
you know,
off the books.
You're in a colored body, you're not considered a full citizen.
That's right. That's
just think, wasn't so long ago that the churches, the Catholic churches, arranged to give blessings to Napoleon and all kind of conquerors to go everywhere, imprison anybody, everybody, just somehow make them Make them a good Christian. You know, this is right from the Pope. They went all over the whole world, killing people of all types.
Latter-day Saints just recently allowed African.
These are changing fast, and they're not changing. In the sense that demons are constantly finding more and more ways how just to affect people's consciousness. See, the demons, they don't care about what gender you're in, what race you're in. They don't care. And when demons influence people, and when they also take birth, they take birth in all races, they take birth in all parts of the world, they take birth in all genders, but their plans are similar. So think somebody like Idi Amin was just a tyrant. He was a huge demon. He did, you know, all kind of human rituals and ate human flesh and you know, this is Ralph Chakri. You know, Margaret Thatcher and President Reagan who were using embryos and what do you call it, human spare parts to look young. That's some of the activities of demons. People, parts of digestion, using any parts of human bodies, human parts. This activities. Well, you know, not to overemphasize demonic. We didn't do much about the, you know, divine qualities because those are very powerful. And obviously, you want to access those. The thing is being able to recognize the fields of activities, the dangers that one doesn't play into it. Because most people, they become they find themselves getting more and more incarcerated. Because they're thinking that things are kind of okay. Or they are doing the things that's adding to the incarceration. So they're playing right into the sectarianism. They're playing right into this thinking that they can just get more and more material things, then life will be okay. And so they're going to sell their souls just to kind of get, you know, material things, you know, to manipulate them. But if we see ourselves that we are not these bodies, but we're spiritual entities, and we're using various things, our cars, our houses, we're using various facilities so that we're using it and not abusing, and we're using it and not being enslaved by such. When one has identified such things as the all in all, then the easier it is to be able to control and to, of course, for the demons, and then to those even more, because then they have more people under their jurisdiction. Now they begin to come down on some of these sovereignty groups because they're realizing, hold on a minute now. People talking about bartering. It can't be controlled, it can't be taxes, they create their own monies, their own communities. Such. Like everybody think that any type of community, any type of alternative thing is just some kind of cult or something that you should be worried about. Or people who start, like in that movie you were saying, hey, it's very practical in the sense that we look at our electricity, our water supply, you know, the grid. It's all coming from central places. This contaminated water supply, and you have huge neighborhoods and precincts where people are just poisoned. No disturbance to the grid and electricity, and you have tens of thousands of people's homes who have now no more light, no more electricity. So we'll stop now, and I think there's a few announcements. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Srila Krishna Pad ki
jai.